It is July 28th, 1998. This is Kelly Elaine Davies. I'm sitting with Reverend Mrs. Portia Leverett in her home in Asheville, North Carolina. How are you doing today?
Fine, and you?
I'm good. I'm enjoying this tea that you've made for us.
I'm good.
So, this is our first interview on the Stevens Lee experience. First, I want to ask you a few questions about your early life. Where were you born?
I was born here in Asheville.
What neighborhood were you born in Asheville?
South Asheville. It was a rural area.
It was?
Yes.
How far is that from where we are now?
I would say about 5 miles.
About 5 miles?
Yes.
And how many children were in your family?
13.
13 of you?
Yes.
I think you were telling me 6 brothers and 6 sisters.
Yes.
And where are you in that?
I'm next to the baby.
Okay.
I'm the knee baby.
So you were close to the knee and baby, huh?
Yes.
Hmm. And what did your parents do?
My dad worked on the railroad. He was a fireman on the railroad. And my mother was a nurse, but she spent most of the time at home with the children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
So where did you go to elementary school?
I went my first 2 years to a little rural school in South Asheville. And the other elementary years were spent at Livingston Street School.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Was the first school that you went to, was it like a one-room schoolhouse?
There were 2 little rooms.
2 rooms?
Yes.
2 teachers?
There were about 3 teachers, but the principal also served as a teacher, so we actually had 3 teachers. One room was for like first through third grade pupils, and the other room was like maybe 4 through 5 or 6.
So, how old were you when you started?
I was 5.
So you started at 5 in the first
yes.
grade?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you learned how to read at the school?
Well, my mother had really taught me to read at home before I even started school, so I knew how to read and write and do some math.
Yeah.
And I even made a blouse to wear to school my first year.
Really? You made a blouse?
On an old pedal sewing machine.
When you were 5 years old?
Yes.
Well, that's something. So you were ahead of other students at school already?
Yes, I started out helping to teach the other children.
Really?
Yes, even when I was 5. But later on in the day, I would start missing my mother, and I would start wanting to go home. So I was really a good student up till about 1 or 2 o'clock. Then I was ready to go home.
Really?
To
mom. Then what would you do?
I would cry and say, I'm ready to go home. And my older brothers and sisters would take me home.
Oh, they were in the school also.
Oh, yes.
So it must
yes.
have been something. All of you were in school together.
Yes.
So after that, you went to the Livingston School?
Yes.
I've heard a little bit about that school. But it was a lot larger than the one-room school, right?
Oh, it was. Yes. There were 2 floors. It was an old frame structure. And it existed on up to the time I was in high school, and then they tore it down and built a new school.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. But it's now Reed Center. It's no longer an elementary school.
So you went there from 3rd through 6th grade?
Yes.
Okay. Did you enjoy going to Livingston School?
Yes. We walked about 5 miles to school.
Really?
Yes.
You and your brothers and sisters?
Yes. And neighbors.
What was that like?
It was fun. We would play along the way, climb trees, and play in the mud, and we just enjoyed going to school. But we would start out early, because we had to get up early to milk the cows and feed the chickens. So it was fun. We would still get to school on time.
You would play in the mud before school?
Yeah, so you can imagine how we looked when we got there. But the teachers then were like our parents also, and they would wash us up and feed us if we were a little hungry, and it was really like home away from home.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes our teachers would go home with us and talk with our parents about how we were progressing in school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So about how large were your classes at Livingston?
There were about 18 to 20 students in each class. So they were not overcrowded, but they were full.
So it was a good experience, it sounds like.
Oh, yes.
Were you aware then that you were going to a segregated school?
Oh, no. It was not even an issue. The segregation was not even an issue then. We just were living the way we thought we were supposed to live.
Well, what about white children? Did you ever interact with white children?
No, not really, but some of my older sisters and brothers did because they worked for white families that lived over the hill from us. So they would come home and tell us about the white children and all of the material wealth that they had. But somehow we never even thought about wanting it. At least I never thought about wanting what they had because I enjoyed the farm and the animals, and I felt blessed the way I was.
So what kind of things did they say that they had that you guys didn't have?
Pretty clothes and expensive toys, and they would go on vacations.
So we have to take a short pause and a knock on the door. Okay, we're returning from a brief pause, and we were discussing some of the differences that your sisters and brothers perceived between the economic situation of your white neighbors over the hill and yourselves, and you were saying what some of those differences were.
Yes, and not only did my older brothers and sisters tell me about their wealth, but when they got tired of their clothes or got tired of their toys, they would give them to us, and so we sort of enjoyed their secondhand clothes and secondhand toys.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So did you ever have to work over there with them?
No, I didn't. No. Before I was old enough to go to work over there, we moved a little closer into town.
Okay.
I was about 9 or 10 when we moved into town.
What part
Cherry Street.
Cherry?
Yeah, that's really central.
Central
Asheville.
So you were no longer in a rural area?
No.
Okay. So did you guys still have farmland or anything like that?
No. We just started a city life at that time.
That must have been some kind of move.
Yes, I didn't think I would ever adjust to it, but I did.
So after you went to Livingston School, you went to Hill Street.
Hill Street. So living on Cherry Street really put us closer to our school, too, to Hill Street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was just over the hill from Cherry Street. So we walked over the hill across Montfort down Hill Street to our school.
So that didn't take very long?
No. It was just about a 5 or 10 minutes walk.
Did you miss having a longer, fine walk to school?
Yes, I did. Yes, because walking through the country was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to back up a minute. When you say you walked through the country to get to school, there weren't sidewalks or what?
Oh, no. It was dirt road half of the way until we got up to Forest Hill Drive. And Forest Hill Drive was just a regular street, but then to me it looked like a big highway because I was small. But now I realize it was just a regular street.
And it didn't have a sidewalk either?
Yes, there was a sidewalk on Forest Hill Drive.
Okay.
Yes.
So up until that street?
Yes.
So what was Hill Street school like?
Hill Street was a big brick structure. It had two stories, and we thought it was a very modern facility at that time. I remember the big home ec department, And I enjoyed that because I enjoyed sewing and making my own clothes. And I could cook. My mother had already taught me to cook, so I enjoyed home ec. And I enjoyed my teachers. They were still like an extended family, and I could do my work quickly and well, so I spent a lot of time decorating the boards in the classrooms and in the hallways.
Decorating the boards, like drawing pictures?
Drawing pictures, and sometimes I would just paint directly on the boards.
Paint, really?
Yes.
They allowed you to do that?
Yes, make paint murals on the boards.
Mm-hmm. On chalkboards?
Some of the boards were like painted boards that you tack things on, but they had been painted over.
I see.
Painted cork boards.
So by this time you had already developed yourself as an artist.
Oh, yes.
And that, so that was encouraged by the teachers.
Yes. And in the summer, I worked in other schools doing boards for teachers, and they would pay me to decorate their boards in other schools around the city.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. How much would you get paid to do something like that?
I don't think it was a lot, but then to me it was a lot. Maybe $15 or $20.
Yeah. It's pretty good for a junior high school student.
Yes.
You're already a professional artist. So had you been thinking a lot about going to high school?
Yes, because I felt then that I would be really grown. And since I did a lot of teaching even from elementary school time, I think I felt grown anyway.
Well, were you looking forward to going to Stevens Lee?
Yes.
A lot of your brothers and sisters had already gone there.
Yes, and that was just like going to a castle, because it was called the Castle on the Hill, and it was just a magnificent idea to go to school there.
Did all of your sisters and brothers who had already gone tell you good things about
it? Oh, yes. Everybody loved Stevens Lee. The boys especially liked the sports and the pep rallies and the science departments and those kinds of things.
So did you enter in the ninth grade?
Yes, I started Stevens Lee in the ninth grade.
That would have been 1954, right?
Yes, by that time.
Your first year, did you get involved in extracurricular activities and clubs and that type of thing?
I was a literary person. I loved the Canterbury Club. That was my favorite club. And I was in the Crown and Scepter Club. That's an honor society. And I remember being in the math club also.
You started those clubs in the ninth grade?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And kept and continued.
Oh, yes.
How did you get to school when you went to Stevens Lee?
Usually we walked. We walked to school. We thought that was the way to go.
Was it a further distance to Stevens Lee?
Oh, yes. I guess maybe 3 miles.
Mm-hmm. So you never caught the bus or anything?
Well, about my senior year, school bus tickets were provided, so we did ride the bus some during my senior year. And I remember getting a roll of bus tickets. It was a city bus, but we could ride with school bus tickets.
So the school provided those tickets?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What was that like, riding the bus?
Oh, that was like going on a trip. We enjoyed that, too.
Yeah?
I believe we appreciated everything.
Well, were the buses segregated then?
Yes, we had to sit on the back.
Yes, you did.
And we didn't even question that. We would just go to the back and sit down.
You never tried to sit in the front or anything?
No. Mm-hmm.
Did you know anyone who tried to do that?
No. No. I don't remember anyone trying to do that. But when Rosa Parks finally did, I said, wow, why didn't we think of that?
Really? You remember
yeah.
that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that was the first thought that came to your mind, was why didn't you think
yeah,
of that? Were you glad that she did that?
Oh, sure. Yes.
Was that something that people talked about at school?
Oh, yes. They talked about that at school. Mm-hmm. The older people were nervous about the civil rights movement, but the young people were all for it.
So when you say older, you mean out of school adults?
Yeah.
But all of you in school were all...
Yeah. Most school about. People were in favor of civil rights movements.
So tell me a little bit about Stevens Lee. I'm trying to get like a detailed picture of it. What was your social life like there? Who did you hang around with?
I didn't really have a whole lot of social life myself at Stevens Lee because my dad was really, really strict. He was always afraid we'd get hurt or in trouble or something. So we were expected to be home by dark. So we didn't get to go to many of the activities that would be like in late evening. My mother was not as strict as my daddy, so when it came time for junior-senior prom, and my daddy was out of town on the railroad, my mom let us go to things like the proms.
So your dad wouldn't have let you go?
Oh, no. So, no, he wouldn't.
Well, you smile when you talk about it now, but were you really kind of mad that your dad was that strict?
Oh, no. No. That we felt that he protected us because he loved us, and so we just appreciated the attention.
So, did you ever get in any trouble at Stevens Lee?
No, I don't ever remember being in any trouble at Stevens Lee.
No. I'm curious about how they disciplined students. Did you know anyone that got in trouble there?
We didn't have many discipline problems. It was such a home-like atmosphere, and it was such a nurturing atmosphere that the problems were handled in a caring and compassionate way. And I just don't remember anybody ever having to be punished.
Really? No fights or anything like that?
I don't remember any fights. And the children who could do their work would help the children who had problems with their work. So there was a lot of peer teaching also.
A lot of peer teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And you were one of the people that did its teaching,
right? Yes.
So, tell me a little bit about the teaching experience. Did you enjoy that?
Oh, I love teaching, yes. And the students didn't seem to mind me being their teacher when the teacher had to go to a faculty meeting or had to take a break or... whatever the real teacher had to do, they didn't mind me assisting with the teaching.
So with the teacher out of the classroom, did the students never cause any problems or anything?
No
like that?
Problems ever. And I often wonder about that, because today, if the teacher leaves the class, the children try to sink the sub, but didn't any of the children try to sink me?
That's an interesting question. Did they have sub teachers at Stevens Lee?
I don't ever remember substitute teachers coming from without the school. Somehow, the teaching staff there and the students who were able to would fill in whenever needed.
So did you get extra credit for helping to teach?
Oh yeah, I always made A's. I thought that was the reward.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what about fun at school? What was the most fun what were the things that you did at school that were, you know, exciting and fun to do?
I enjoyed the programs in the auditorium. We had a glee club, and Ms. Reynolds was really very excellent with working with the glee club, and Mrs. Chappelle, the dance instructor, had a very dynamic dance group, and we would go to the auditorium to see those performances. And Ms. Tolliver and some of the other teachers that taught drama had really great plays that we would go to. So I enjoyed that a whole lot. And our student government had programs that we would go to that we enjoyed. So we just enjoyed that. And we would have chapel services sometimes.
When did you have that?
I think about once a month we would have chapel services.
I think you were also telling me about the morning devotion.
Yes, yes.
Did you really enjoy it?
Yes. And I think the chapel services grew out of those morning devotion services. We would spend about 30 minutes with prayer and scripture and songs. And that really started our day off. That was a good way to start a school day. And that's probably why we didn't have discipline problems and why everybody worked together as a family.
So you started in 1954?
Yes.
And that was the year of the Brown versus the Board of Education ruling. Do you remember hearing about that?
I remember hearing the teachers talking about it, and I remember that they were saying that we needed some kind of improvement in the system because Stevens Lee did not receive budget allotments for new materials and books and supplies. We received the old books and the old band uniforms and the old band instruments from a white school when they were through with them. But it seems that all of the budget, all of the money was for the white schools, and we received their leftovers. Or their hand-me-downs.
So the perception was that the end of segregation would mean a better allocation of
resources? Yes, we thought it would improve our supplies and resources.
What did you think about the prospect of going to school with white children? Did you think about that at all?
Well, I just always had the feeling that people were people, and I thought that it would just be the same. I didn't think that much about the different color of skin. At that time, I was not so much aware of the monopoly of power and resources. I was not that much aware of how we were being oppressed and suppressed. I was just living one day at a time.
When did you become aware of those things?
Through the civil rights struggle and through seeing the comparison on the news media.
What was your first direct exposure with civil rights movement?
Well, my biggest impression was made when we had the sit-in in Greensboro. And
At the time you were attending North Carolina A&T.
Oh, yes. In the college. That's when I really became involved in the civil rights movement.
Do you remember the day that they had that first sit-in?
Oh, I don't remember the exact day.
I mean, not the date necessarily, but do you remember?
Oh, how it happened. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. all of the students were ready to just get in and do whatever they could to bring about integration and to make things better. You know, they were chanting, "We're tired of going to the side window. We're tired of sitting on the back of the bus. We're tired of not being able to go to the hospitals. We want equal rights." So I remember all of that.
Now you were telling me before that you knew Jesse Jackson.
Oh, yes.
Tell me a little bit about Jesse Jackson. How did you know him?
Well, he was a student leader. He was very active on campus in all of the projects that would improve things on campus, even before he got into the civil rights movement. He was just a leader. He was a friendly person, and we just worked along with him as much as we could, and we were not surprised when he really came forth as a civil rights leader.
You were telling me that you wrote a speech for him?
Yeah, I helped him work on a speech on campus. They thought that I could really write and make things sound the right way to get the idea across. So I helped him with the speech.
Do you remember what the speech was about?
Not exactly. I just remember helping, and I remember him giving the speech in our auditorium on campus.
So how would you compare your experience at North Carolina A&T to your high school experience at Stevens Lee?
Well, I had a lot of adjustment to make in college because I felt more independent and more on my own. So I had a lot of growing up to do. And I developed a greater sense of responsibility. So I felt responsible for not just my growth, but the growth of others around me. And I wanted to make as much of a contribution to others as I could.
Has Stevens Lee adequately prepared you for college?
Yes, especially in writing and reading. I didn't spend as much time in chemistry in high school as I should have, so I had a little trouble in chemistry, but I was able to get through that.
So did you continue to make really good grades at A&T?
Yes, except in chemistry.
What was your major there?
Fine arts.
Fine arts?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of things did you study?
The first 2 years were just really mainly basic courses with a few art courses. So I had English and math and algebra and chemistry and literature. And then the junior and senior year was just mainly art. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you focus on one particular medium or form of art?
Well, we had quite a bit of art history and painting and sculpture and ceramics and those types of things. Yes.
So, in 1965, you were teaching, I believe, somewhere else, right? In Georgia?
Yes, Sandersville, Georgia.
Do you remember hearing about the closing of Stevens Lee while you were there?
No, I did not get to come home that much, so I didn't hear a lot about it then.
When did you first hear about it?
When I really heard a lot about it was when they were opening the school on Southridge Broad, and some of the Stevens Lee alumni thought that the school should be named Stevens Lee, and they were saying that Stevens Lee should not be torn down, and they were having meetings trying to decide what to do to keep the school from being torn down, and that's when I really realized that those changes were being made.
Were you living here then?
No.
When did you return to Asheville?
I returned to Asheville in about 71.
Okay. Well, then you were here when the school was demolished then in 1975.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it seems that the meetings and the protests didn't help that much because they tore the school down anyway.
Yeah. Did you go to any of those meetings?
No, I didn't.
Well, do you remember, did you get any of the bricks when they demolished the school?
No, but I know some people who did.
You do?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I've been hearing about that, but I hadn't met anyone yet who gotten one. Mm-hmm. Can you name any of those people?
I think some of the Mapp family have bricks, and I think perhaps Coach Moore and his family have some. And I'm trying to think of the people who were active in those meetings. One reason I was not that active is because I had two little boys at that time. Mm-hmm. My two sons were small. I can't think of names of other people who might have bricks now, but I heard about that.
That's a good start. The Mapp family and the Moore family. You had married into the Mapp family.
Yes. I married Wilbur Mapp. He was an athlete. He was a football player at Stevens Lee and also a football player at A&T. We really start dating at A&T.
So you knew each other in high school, but you started dating at A&T.
Yes.
And then you got married after that. What year did you get married?
We got married in, gosh, I guess I should remember that. We got married in, seemed like it was, oh gosh, I can't even remember.
That's okay. Is he still living?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, when did you become involved with Stevens Lee Alumni Association?
I just became active in the past year or so. I've been very active with my class, the class of 59. But I really, really became active with the Alumni Association in the past couple of years. I started doing the banners first, and then through the class of 59, I started working with their reunions.
Mm-hmm. So, are you going to continue to be involved with the reunions?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is the most important aspect of Stevens Lee that should be preserved?
Well, if we can just preserve the spirit of the school, that's what I think is the most important thing. The gym is now being renovated to look a lot like the building where the classes were. I think that will help. And I always thought that I would go back on the hill sometimes and just rebuild the whole school.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I have two questions. First, when you speak of the spirit, what exactly do you mean? How would you describe that spirit?
Well, it's a spirit of unity and of caring for the quality of education that we received when we were at the school. And it was just a good community spirit and a caring for learning.
Why would you want to rebuild the school?
I feel that if the school is rebuilt and if we can get that same type of learning atmosphere, then the young people of today in our community will just receive a better education and it will be more relevant to their life and to our culture.
Hmm. But what was it about the building that was so special to you?
It was like a castle on a hill. It was something that we looked up to. It was a symbol of a better life and a way to learn what we needed to know to have a better life.
Do you feel that your children have had the same experience with their high school education?
No, I don't, because they have been caught up in a kind of socialization that has them all wrapped up in a social life that's competitive, that's even damaging to their spirit, and they're not able to learn that well.
Hmm. So Stevensley didn't have that type of competitive air?
No. No. It didn't.
Did the student body have any difficulty getting along with each other in terms of, let's say, someone may have had more than someone else, or someone being lighter skin or darker skin? Were there any of those kind of issues when you were there?
They were so subtle that they didn't affect everybody every minute of the day, but there were those types of things because of the idea that was implanted in our minds back in slavery time that the big house colored people that were fair-skinned were better than the slaves in the garden that had the darker skin, and that did carry over, but it was so subtle that it didn't worry everybody all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard a lot of former Stevensley students say that the girls with the fair skin were the ones chosen to be majorettes or in the dance group and those kinds of things.
Did you perceive that as well?
We were not aware of that at that time, but I think through the civil rights movement and looking back, those conclusions were drawn.
Hmm. So kind of in retrospect.
Yeah.
Hmm. So, yeah, as you mentioned, they're building this new center. What kind of things would you like to see in the center that can teach the new generation about Stevensley?
Well, I think if we hold on to the spirit of the old Stevensley, then we will keep that sense of unity and togetherness, a sense of community, and a sense of caring for each other, reaching out to the single parent families and seeing that they pick up the spirit of caring and sharing and learning so that they'll have better lives. So I would like for it to be center that will promote social and economic growth.
Hmm. Well, we're close to the end of this side. I want to turn over the tape now and continue on the other side.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.